Will you turn with me in your Bibles in Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 3. We're reading verses 10 through 14. You can find this printed also in your bulletins, Galatians 3, verses 10 through 14. This is the word of God. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeem us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we read this word, which is your word, we have the assurance of having the Holy Spirit in us, giving us understanding of spiritual things. We thank you for the gospel, the good news of salvation that is proclaimed to us from these verses. We thank you, all of us who already have faith in you, in Jesus, Lord Jesus. For we know, Lord, that through faith in you, we are your people. But we pray also for those that still don't know you, Lord, that you might reveal yourself in their hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of your word. May you help us as we consider these verses to be instructed by you, that you may open our eyes to see the truth of the gospel in these verses, so that we might rejoice in you and have the joy of salvation in our hearts. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many important questions that humans seek for answers throughout history and continue to seek for answers in life. Some of these questions are related to our physical existence, how we get healthier or how we progress in life, etc. There are many questions that are very important. But there is one very important question, which is the most important question that anybody can ask and can find an answer in life. Whether you believe in God or not, it is the truth that this is the most important question, and this is, how do we stand right before God? How do we stand right before God? And why is that question so important? This question is important because God is the creator of everything that exists. He created everything. And not just that, he is the sustainer of everything that exists. He sustained his creation. And each one of us, every human being, was created to worship God and enjoy his presence forever. That's the main purpose why every human being was created. And if we have a problem with God because of our sin, because of our brokenness, and we have this broken relationship with God because of our sinful nature and our sin, then the question again goes back to being, how do I stand right before God? If God is the creator, if he's the sustainer, and he created me to worship him and enjoy him forever, how do I fit, or how this relationship with God get fit? And this is what we see in these verses. Paul is answering basically this question. The most important question that anybody can ever ask, how we are justified before God, or how do we stand right before God, in right relationship with God. And there are three things that I'd like us to look at in these verses as an outline for us as we see these verses. One is that Paul is teaching us from these verses that justification cannot be obtained relying on works. It's an affirmation that we get from these verses that right standing before God, justification cannot be obtained relying on works. The second thing is that justification cannot be obtained relying on works plus faith, or faith plus works. And then finally, Paul answered to us this question: how is justification obtained? How can we be justified? And these are, for many of us, or for some of us, basic truths of the gospel, things that we have heard and we hear again and again and again, and we should not get used to these truths of the gospel, because again, we have to go back to the gospel every day of our lives, and every Sunday we gather together, we go back to the gospel. So the first thing that we learn here is justification, which is right standing before God, to be declared just before God, cannot be obtained relying on works. Paul starts this little section saying, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse." All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. And Paul is not saying this out of the blue without any context. Paul is speaking to the Galatians that, as you have been hearing for weeks, heard the gospel. Gentiles who heard the gospel became Christians, trusted in Jesus for salvation, understood that salvation was by faith. Therefore, they did not do any work to receive that blessing of being a member of God's family. They did not get circumcised, did not follow Jewish traditions in order to be accepted into God's family, and they were understood to be part of the family of God. They were members of the covenant community of God. And later on, there was a group of people, Judaizers, came and proclaimed to them that gospel that they received, that good news that they received, was an incomplete message, and that they needed to do something else in order to be considered full members of the family of God. And that was that they needed to keep the law of God. They needed to be circumcised, and they needed to practice all the prescriptions that you find in the law of God. And it is evident by the fact that we have this letter that Paul wrote to them addressing this issue, that many of them believe that was true. That many of them understood that the message that they have received from Paul initially, which was, "In Christ alone you are saved," was an incomplete message. And it is evident by reading this that some of them fall into, okay, we need to be circumcised, we need to follow all these traditions. This is why Paul goes to speak to them these words that he's saying, which is not a light word to say. He's saying, all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. If you rely, if you put your faith, if you depend on the works of the law, you are cursed. Of course, when Paul is saying all who rely on works of the law, he's not saying that doing good works is a bad thing. But what he's saying is that if you rely on these works that you are doing, that comes from you, in order to stand right before God, to be declared as just or justified before God, you are actually under a curse. And then Paul goes to quote a passage from the Old Testament that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. I read it for you. You'll read it there, but I read it for you from Deuteronomy. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say amen. Paul quoted in this way. Cursed be anyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So the problem is that if you rely on works of the law for your salvation, you are obligated to keep the whole law. It becomes your responsibility to keep the whole law, not just part of the law. And if you don't keep the whole law in order to be just before God, because you are relying on that law, then you are under a curse. In my Christian journey in life and even in ministry as a pastor, I have met at least two kinds of people that rely on works of the law. Some of them are like Martin Luther. They really believe because they have been taught by some teachers, by some preachers, that they depend on their own works in order to be saved. And therefore, they try very hard to keep the law. They try as much as they can because they feel that, or not just they feel, they have understood from what they have been taught that they depend on the law in order to be saved. That's why Martin Luther was going again and again to confess his sins, because he felt, because he have been taught and have understood that he depended on the works of the law in order to be saved. And I have found that these people are confused, but it's not so challenging to prove to them through the scriptures, through passages like these, through actually what Paul does, to going through the Old Testament, to prove to them that if they are relying on the works of the law, they are under a curse, because no one is able to keep the law. But also I have found other people who actually believe that they are keeping the whole law. I remember one of my brothers in seminary once came to our group meeting and said, it's been a while since I sinned. Somehow he thought that he was actually keeping the whole law. And there are people who actually think of themselves as people who are keeping the law. And these are more the people that are more challenging in order to get them to understand that they cannot rely on the works of the law, because they are deceiving themselves or have deceived themselves into believing that they are actually fulfilling the law of God. Paul says in verse 11, "For it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law." And he quotes the scripture. But before he do that, I think that is evident for all of us when we are confronted with this reality that if we don't abide by all things written in the book of the law, then we are on the course if we are relying on the work of the law. It is evident for all of us when we look at ourselves in a mirror that we cannot be justified by the law of God. The law of God actually kills us. It reveals to us our condition, that we cannot keep the law of God. But then Paul quotes another passage from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. "Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith." The context of this passage or this verse in Habakkuk that we have here, chapter 2, verse 4, that Paul quotes, "The righteous shall live by faith," is that Babylon have defeated Jerusalem, and the prophet is speaking to Babylon, proving that It is not by what you can achieve, but it is by depending on faith. It is not by your own pride that you are blessed by God, but it is by trusting in God. Then the righteous shall live by faith. The word shall live, you could understand this as will have eternal life through faith. Will have eternal life through faith. Therefore, you are seeing here two concepts running through these verses. One is that we are justified by faith, and we have eternal life by faith. Justification is that declaration that we are just, as just before God, is our status before God. And eternal life refers to our fellowship with God for eternity. Both things are standing before God, and our eternal life depend only in our faith and not in our works. Then let's move on to the second part, which is justification can be obtained relying on faith plus works. Paul says in verse 12, but the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. And this is because he's speaking to the Galatians who thought that, all right, what's wrong with trusting in Jesus? Remember, the Judaizers didn't come saying you need to reject Jesus and embrace Judaism, but you can have Jesus and also the law. And some of the Galatians may have thought, well, there is nothing wrong with, beside trusting in Jesus, actually keeping the law. After all, God himself prescribed the law. He was the one who revealed the law in the Old Testament. Therefore, what is the problem? Well, Paul is saying the law is not faith. It is if you trust in your works, you are actually rejecting the whole message of faith. Because the message that salvation by faith brings to us is a message that reveals that we cannot keep the law, that we are broken. It's a message that confronts us with the reality that we are sinners and that there is nothing we can do to please God. And the very moment we start to think that there are some of our works that are acceptable to God, first of all, we are actually saying that the work of Jesus is an incomplete work, and therefore we need to add something. Or that we have something good in us that we can offer to God in order to complete his work. But again, when Paul quotes here from Leviticus 18:5, that I read it to you, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Paul quoted this way, the one who does them shall live by them. The one who does them means the one who relies on the works of the law, on his own works for salvation, will have eternal life through that. And we all know what is the answer. The answer is that then no one will have eternal life, because no one is able to keep the whole law. But there is another reason why we cannot have law and faith together. Law plus faith, or faith plus law. It is that Jesus Christ fulfills the law. That the whole law was pointing to Jesus. You have in the Old Testament three sets of laws: the ceremonial law, the civil law, and the moral law. And the ceremonial law and the civil law were pointing actually to Jesus. Remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What John the Baptist was saying is that Jesus fulfilled the whole sacrificial system. Therefore, if you are attempting to keep the law, you are denying that Jesus fulfills the law. Remember, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. The whole Old Testament The law of God was a shadow of the substance that was to come, which is Jesus Christ. But when we think about actually the moral law, which is the other part that reveals the character of God, we also see that Jesus fulfills the law because he kept the law perfectly. And the moral law, the only thing that the moral law does to us is the proof to us that we are not able to keep it. Therefore, the law is not of faith. You cannot be justified or obtain your justification relying on faith plus your works. It's faith in Christ alone. Then third, Paul answered this question. That is the question of the hour, of this hour, right now. How is justification obtained? How can I stand right before God or be justified before God? Paul says, Christ redeem us. Christ redeem us. The word exagorazo, which means that Christ paid the price. One of the ways this word was used in the past was in reference to somebody who will pay off a slave. Somebody who was a slave, he will go to pay for that slave so he will be set free. And from what did Christ redeem us? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, Christ redeemed us from the curse. Is that the same curse that we read in verse 10? All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. So the very work of Christ is to redeem us from that curse. And how did he do that? How did God decide that Christ will redeem us from the curse of the law? He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. These are very serious words. Not just me that is saying it. A lot of preachers and commentaries will say that we should be careful even to say these words, that Christ became a curse for us. But that is what really happened on the cross. On the cross, remember Ephesians 2, we were children of wrath, right? Christ on the cross received the whole wrath of God. The wrath of God that you and I deserved. Then Christ saved us from God's wrath. On the cross, he received the punishment that you and I deserved. He quotes again from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, that says, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day. For a hangman is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for inheritance. Paul quoted this way, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Christ was cursed on the cross for you and me. And when he did that, this was not the only thing that happened, but that through our union with Christ, which is through faith, if you go to the end of verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith, through our faith in Christ, Christ's righteousness is counted as our righteousness. So there is a double transference happening here. Our curse, if moved to Christ, who on the cross received the wrath of God, he bears our sins on the cross, and his righteousness is imputed to us, is counted as our righteousness. For that reason, God the Father sees us justified. that answer the question, how do I stand right before God? It is not just to say, just believe in Jesus, but believing what about Jesus? Believing that he is God, that he is divine, that he took flesh, that he emptied himself, that he came to the world, and that he died on the cross, and that on the cross he bare our sins. He received the punishment of God, the wrath of God, the curse that belongs to us. He bare on the cross so that you and I will receive his righteousness. Now let's go back to what Paul says in 14. So that in Christ, if you are united to Christ through faith in Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Remember, he's been talking about this before. If you want, you can read with me in previous verses, verses 7 through 9. Know that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. And how do we know that we have received this blessing? We know that because what we read here is so that we might receive the promised Spirit, that we already have new life in Christ. So it is not just a status of being justified or declared as just before God, but that we are new creatures in Christ through our union with Christ. So here is the question for you and me. What do you rely on for your standing before God? And I know that we can quickly go and answer a book answer, as good Christians will say, in faith in Christ. And I press on the question, do you? And the reason why is not because I'm questioning your or my faith, is because so often I meet with brothers and sisters who, though they trust in Jesus for salvation, they continue to depend on their standing before God in their performance, their own works. And you can see so often that they do not enjoy, they don't have the joy of salvation, the peace that comes from knowing that Christ on the cross did what you could not have done. And they keep on trying and trying to be right before God in their own terms, even though they confess with their mouth that they trust only in Jesus for salvation. So this is a question to help us to confront what is deep in our hearts and help us to ask God, Lord, help me, God, help me to experience that joy that comes from trusting in you for salvation. You know that was actually what Martin Luther experienced when he found in the scriptures that you are justified by faith alone. May God help us to experience that joy today. Dear God, we thank you for what you have done. You have done all. You sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who bare our sins, who received the punishment that we deserved, so that through his work, only his work, we could stand today justified before you. And we thank you, Lord, that this is an standing that is for eternity. We shall live by faith. We will live forever by this faith that you have given to us, this precious gift of salvation. We also pray for our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, those that still don't know you, Lord. May you reveal yourself to their hearts as well. May you send the Holy Spirit to their hearts so they could also trust in you. May you help us, Lord, to be the aroma of Christ to those around us. We thank you for that privilege as well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.